certainly hope that it's a very strong test.
A road test or a written test?
Both.
Both, okay.
We would hope that included in part of the requirements is a medical examination report. We have at one time, and I think your committee has it, when you heard this bill first, outlined some of the proposed tests that ought to be used for testing these type of drivers. I can also tell you that Mr. McKellar, who had to leave the room, wanted me to say that his association, the Log Truckers Association, does support this.
Yes, thank you. I have a note from him saying that he has too many things piled into one morning and can't stay here, but that they do want to support the bill, and I believe we do have some printed testimony from him that we can put into the record as well.
He will appreciate that, Madam Chair. We find no fault with today's proposed amendments by the division, one that would eliminate the requirement of air brakes as a separate issue. We believe that every brake on every truck, any kind of a brake, the driver ought to be able to and be capable of knowing all about that particular brake, not just air brakes. The removal of the hazardous materials is good because there's so many other agencies, including the federal government, that is involved in that. And the others are typographical. I have not had a chance this morning to really go through the last draft of 213, but
it's
I am
the same
certain
as it was, Bobby, those amendments.
Yeah, it's
the same as the one
it's the same bill as it was before, except for the amendments that we went over when we all met together to discuss the new amendments.
That's why I'm sure that we can accept that draft. Again, I guess in closing, Madam Chair and members of the committee, the Oregon Trucking Association fully supports this idea. We want those drivers to be absolutely qualified if they're out on the highway. We will hope that the rules and regulations adopted by the division are strict and good rules, and that in some way the interim committee task force, the legislature, will audit the continuation of this program if you adopt the bill, so that you know exactly what the division is doing in the interim period and getting prepared for this.
It would be my intention to ask for, if we are going to have an interim transportation committee, that we ask for regular reports, and then we will also make sure that people who are interested are on the mailing list to be notified to know when the hearings are about that.
I believe that's all that I have here this morning. I certainly will try to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I don't have anyone else signed up to testify on this bill, and we are in a work session as the committee.
I move the amendments number 3.
Thank you. Senator Simmons moves the amendments to Senate Bill 213 that are 213-3 from Legislative Council dated 4/22/85. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair,
Senator
I noticed in here the age section, and you probably understand the age requirements. Do we I get back to the farming situation again in regards to age requirements for class 3, and the way I just glanced at here, now I've lost where I saw it.
Where are you?
Age 31?
18. Oh, you're on page 18.
Currently we have special situations for individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
A certain age. Do we, under this program, do we lose that when we go to a class 3?
I don't think we're making any changes in that.
I'm sorry, I didn't think of that sooner. But
okay. Dennis?
Okay. Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Tindall, are you talking about the minimum age for the underage person, or?
I'm talking about the minimum age to obtain a class 3 driver's license.
Okay, 18, which is what it is for a chauffeur's license now.
18. Now, is there any way that they can get it temporary, say somebody working in a field, in a hay field or what have you, that's driving a class 3 truck, where they can have it temporary under age of 18?
A special.
Special permit type thing?
Well, we have the special permits available for persons who are at least 14, for emergency purpose, student permits, but I'm not sure that's what you're talking about.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's still available.
That's still available under a class 3 license?
Under a class 4 license in the bill.
Mm-hmm. Not under a class 3.
You wouldn't have to have a license to drive in the field anyway, would you?
If you...
Well, but you'd probably go out on a highway in some cases.
Presently, for one of the emergency permits, they are limited to driver-type vehicles, and vehicles they can only drive with a driver's license.
Yeah, I understand where you're at in class 4. Not sure when a 14-year-old driving a class 3, but maybe a 16-year-old. You know, you're going to do away with some jobs for students. If they can't have a license to drive it, that size vehicle.
Senator Frey.
I do agree with Senator Toombs on that.
Yeah.
I think that there are just an awful lot of 16 and 17-year-olds out there.
Oh, sure.
If this bill, in fact, does say that they can't do what they've been doing, I think we ought to change it.
It's a good question.
Why can't we change it to 16?
Have we had the Farm Bureau testify, Madam Chair? I don't think we have.
No. Did you?
Vanita,
would you come up and help address this also?
We've had several conversations with the farm community.
I don't know that anybody raised that before.
We met with Senator Thorne yesterday for 45 minutes.
Madam Chair.
That's a good question, Vanita.
Senator Timms, we have discussed with the Farm Bureau and the cattlemen's people the bill per se, but frankly, that question has not come up. About the 16 and 17-year-old on a Class 3 license.
But it's a good question.
It is a good question. Clearly now, if they drive for hire or if they're transporting people or goods, they're supposed to be 18 now to get a chauffeur's license. So I think you might be lowering down the age standard for at least some people. I'm trying to
Go
think
ahead.
Out loud, but I'm not too sure about if you allow a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old who's just barely learned to drive an automobile. It is a different situation, I concede, in a farm area, but I'm not sure what you do if you allow that 16 or 17-year-old to operate that class of vehicle in a city.
Well, Madam Chair.
Maybe there's...
But I bet they are.
I know they are.
I mean, some of them maybe even learned how to drive on that kind of a vehicle in some cases.
Madam Chair, it may well also be that some of them do get chauffeur's licenses. No, they can't get it until 18. So if they're doing it illegally now.
I see. That's the question I was going to ask. Currently, they have to have a chauffeur's license to drive...
For hire. Mm-hmm. If they are principally employed to transport people or goods or for hire, they must have a chauffeur's license.
So that doesn't change.
To get a chauffeur's license, you have to be 18. What Dennis proposed in this bill is that you, at the class 3 on up, correct, you would have to be 18, which would be the two-year level.
What if you're a member of the family?
If you have a...
You're not then for hire, so you could drive the vehicle.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Timms, this concept is getting rid of that idea of... quote, for hire. That's one of the prime forces or prime reasons for classified licenses is to eliminate your license status from being what you do, rather we're trying to get at what you drive. I don't know. I'd be glad to look some more at that age factor or whatever the chair would like.
Well, if we have a problem, I think we need to clear up what the problem is. Dennis?
Madam Chair, I might mention Dennis says that his checks with other state indicate that Class 3 and on up are 18 in those states. So.
Well, but the question of a job right now, it's still parallel. I guess the other question is if it's a family member or someone.
Madam Chair, I think what we might go back and take a look at would be the question of whether there could be some kind of temporary Class 3 or something like that, but
I think that's
it. I'd rather not commit.
Or coming under a special situation.
Between 16 and 18 under special circumstances.
Between 16 and 18 under special circumstances?
I
don't. Is that possible now under the other conditions for the special permit?
No.
Madam Chair, presently if the person is driving where he's not required to be a chauffeur, you know, if he's not transporting persons or property or for hire or hire specifically to drive a motor vehicle, he might drive any type of vehicle at age 16. But if he's comes under the definition of chauffeur, then he has to be 18 to drive that vehicle. So under the bill as proposed, the person, if they wanted to drive a Class 3 vehicle, would have to be 18.
So that is a change in the situation. So what's the best way of addressing that?
Well, Madam Chair, we'd have to address it with an amendment if the committee is so disposed to reduce the age for
or to create a special permit situation.
I'd like to have some time to look at the what we might have to do on that.
With possible time restraints on it, I think, you know, yeah. 6 months or something like that. Just not
Benita?
Seasonal.
There are provisions in the bill for instruction permits, but not that kind of thing. I think we would have to take a look and see just where we could come from, whether you want us to do that now.
I think that it needs to. I think that it
and
needs
reschedule
to be
it.
That it's a yeah. distinct. It's a change in the situation. There needs to be something looked at for it.
Madam Chair,
Senator Simmons,
could I amend my motion to adopt the amendments to say, with a conceptually to put in a.
Okay.
An emergency type permit for 16 to 18.
I would say a special permit.
Special permit 16 to 18 okay. or 16 to 17 to operate
Class 3
vehicles or Class 3 license.
Okay, we can do that in concept.
Madam Chair, may I ask one question? Would that concept be limited to certain rural situations, or would that be across the board?
Harney County.
Seven counties.
We could limit it to agricultural pursuits, which presumably aren't using the highways as much. I would hate to see a 16-year-old kid driving a truck down the Clinton River Gorge or down I-5.
That was my concern, Madam Chair.
Does that concept for an amendment to the amendment sound like the direction the committee wants to go? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Monroe.
The more limited, the better, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of that special permit. 16-year-old kids driving big rigs in traffic scares me.
Yeah, well, this is, we're only talking about your class three now, not your big big.
Well, class three vehicle is a pretty good sized vehicle.
Yeah, that's true. Class three in an agricultural situation.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
And they would still require to be tested, even though they were the six, there wouldn't be a dispensation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not gonna make a dispensation for one particular set of people when everybody, when the whole purpose of the thing is to test people in the vehicle they're gonna drive.
Still tested.
These farmers have been cheating all these years.
All right, if there isn't any objection to that concept, to these amendments, that's adopted as conceptually amended. Now, what's the safest way to go from here? Do you wanna go ahead and move the bill with those amendments to be drafted that way?
I think it would be a fairly simple amendment.
Okay. I think the committee's very clear, and I stated it precisely the way we'd like to have that done.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Frye.
To give staff a little better direction, I would suggest that if it's going to be limited pretty much to agricultural pursuits, so we also include in their language that to this, something to this effect, where most of the driving is done off of the highway, in an agricultural situation where most of the driving is not done on the highway. What I'm thinking of is that if you just say agricultural pursuits, I suppose that would allow a 16-year-old to haul hay across the mountains on some regular basis, or that's not what you got in mind.
If they're not being paid for it. If they're not being paid for it.
Well, I guess it doesn't make any difference under this thing whether they get paid for it or not.
Oh, okay.
Used to be.
Well, you see what I mean is I...
Sure.
Occasionally, Senator Tim says, the young driver in the, who's most of his work is in the field, but maybe he has to drive the... Maybe he has to drive the truck to the elevator, download the grain, for example, or what have you. And, but it, principally, he's driving off of the highway. I don't know how you'd word it, but that's my idea.
How about just limiting it to unpaved roads? Yeah, that would take care of a good deal of Tim's district.
Staff says that it will be drafted as tightly as possible to address those concerns. Okay. Okay. Are you comfortable with that, Senator Monroe?
Could we have agreement that those amendments will be supplied to committee members, and that if there's objection or concerns of committee members, that we bring the bill back?
I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. Each and every committee member will have a set of the amendments, and they'll be flagged with a large goldenrod piece of paper.
Long before I talked to them.
And even before the committee report is completed, I think.
Yes.
Okay. And if there is a problem, we will. Yes, Mr. Knight.
Without going through, Madam Chair, the printed and the engrossed bill here, can you tell me, or are you planning to adopt an amendment submitted today by the division?
We are planning to adopt LC 213-3.
Are they included in
yes.
that?
Yes, all of the amendments previous to this that we had drafted that were my amendments that rewrote the bill, plus the amendments that we discussed in our meetings are in 213-3. And at this point, we're talking about the conceptual amendment on the Class 3 special permit for someone under between 16 and 18 in an agricultural situation.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Is there any objection to adopting the amendments as we've addressed them? So ordered. Senator Simmons moves Senate Bill 213 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there some more discussion? Sharon, please call the roll.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Timms?
Aye.
Senator Frey?
Aye.
Senator Cease?
Aye.
I will carry it, and we will make sure that everyone, including anyone who is in the audience as well, is able to see the amendments before it goes to the desk. Thank you all for your work on what is one of, I think, one of the more important bills from this committee for the session. Okay, let's go to, I guess we'll just go right down the numbers here. Is that the way we've decided to do this, Carol? Okay, next bill is a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2176. Mr. Matthew. Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Adams, maintenance highway engineer, was called to Eastern Oregon. I'm here to testify in his place. My name is Richard Matthew. I am outdoor advertising control supervisor, the highway division, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2176. This bill clarifies the department's responsibility to remove illegal signs off the highway right-of-way by defining specifics that the signs are a nuisance. In many cases, these signs actually cause a safety hazard because they are block the sight distance. The property owners put them too close to the highway, and motorists entering the highway from that property have difficulty doing so safely. Use of these signs are usually in a major thoroughfare like McLaughlin Boulevard or the Coast Highway. These signs increase safety problems on those highways with high volume thoroughfares. It has been difficult for our field personnel to administer the law to eliminate signs illegally placed on highway right-of-way. Portable signs have been a particular thorn in the side of our maintenance personnel. Sign owners simply roll their portable signs into the highway right-of-way and then move them back at will. This bill will alleviate this condition. Is there any questions?
Does anyone have any questions?
Madam Chair, I assume a lot of this is aimed at political signs.
I'm not so sure it's aimed so much at political signs as it is some of the portable for sale, vehicle for sale signs or things like that. That was at least what came up last session.
Madam Chair, Senator Timms, this is mainly these portable signs on wheels that they just roll out on our highway right-of-way and could get clear out on the highway right-of-way and block the distance from the people pulling out from a side street, in which they are illegal to do so, to move them beyond their property line.
Now, this is a fairly large vehicle with 13-inch wheels, for example, or a roller skate type wheels.
Well, these are many sizes, 4x8 or 4x6 or 3x6 is most common, with these flashing arrows, and they cause many problems. For example, you'll have a service station on one corner and another service station on the other corner, and they keep moving the signs out until they get, in some cases, cleared the fog line.
Our Washington County people are more civilized. I have noticed too much of that.
It's only in Clackamas County. Go ahead.
Senator Timms, the Washington County is working on
Simmons.
This encroachment problem at this time. I've talked with them.
Are there more questions for Mr. Matthew? Is the committee... I don't have anyone else who has signed up to testify. Does the committee want to do something with this bill? Think about it. Senator Frye moves.
I just don't think it's quite strong enough.
You don't think it's strong enough? Okay. House Bill 2176 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there more discussion?
May I just ask you?
Senator Brennan, please
just
do.
Just outside city. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I stepped out there for a minute. I just had a question about it being outside city limits.
Mr. Matthew, you want to answer that question?
Madam Chair, Senator Brennan, we are speaking inside or outside either one, but our major problems are out in the areas which has a dense population, normally outside the city limits, because the cities are quite restrictive in many cases.
So is the matter, well, but it...
It would affect all the signs that would encroach on highway right-of-way, yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a question which is indirectly related to the bill. You're the outdoor advertising control supervisor. How many people does DOT have employed in this kind of thing? I mean, how many people do you supervise in your outdoor advertising control?
Directly, there are just four of us. But however, we do receive reports from all the field offices throughout the state.
And it takes four people to pick up outdoor advertising that's on the right-of-way?
When you're speaking of, we're speaking of control supervisor, we're talking about billboards, on-premise signs, directional signs, business identification signs. This is for keeping them under permit. We issue permits for on-premise signs outside the incorporated city statewide.
You mean if it's alongside the highway or
visible? It's visible
to
the state highway.
So if I've got a barn, I can't put up a Lydia Pinkham sign on the side of the barn without a permit?
This is true.
Maybe
you're outside the incorporated city, and it is not an on-premise sign. Would you be conducting the business in your barn?
Maybe.
Okay, that would be an on-premise sign. You would need a permit to do so.
Also a license to practice medicine.
I'm old enough to remember. Well,
but that's not anything that this bill addresses. That's just
no, I was just curious about the size of the operation just to control advertising outdoors. And now, is that funded from transportation funds?
Yes.
Is that considered maintenance and construction of highway?
We're under maintenance.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Sennemans. Are there any further questions about this bill? We already did that. Senator Frye had moved 2176 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and we were just doing further discussion. Any more discussion? Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Senator Brenneman?
Chief Brenneman.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Timms?
Aye.
Senator Frye?
Aye.
Senator Cease?
Aye.
Senator Brenneman, could I ask you to carry this bill?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, we're going to go to a hearing on House Bill 2194. I'd like to call Mr. Russell from the Public Utility Commission. Testifies
me out of the multi-year.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bob Russell. I'm Deputy Assistant Commissioner, PUC Motor Carrier Program.
Okay.
HB 2194, as amended, proposes to implement an optional flat fee for vehicles weighing 26,000 pounds or less. This fee would be paid to PUC at the beginning of each year or on a quarterly basis. Trucks using gasoline would pay an annual flat fee of $165. Those burning diesel would pay $410. Presently, there is a graduated flat fee schedule that is applicable to vehicles with a combined weight of 18,000 pounds or less. It was established in 1953. A flat fee will simplify reporting and record-keeping activities for motor carriers, thereby reducing their costs. Also, PUC auditing efforts will be reduced for these vehicles. As a result, more time and effort can be devoted to carriers with larger weight vehicles who pay proportionally more highway use taxes. This will enhance PUC audit efficiency. PUC records show that the total 184,086 vehicles registered with the state as of January 1985, 15,842 have a weight of 26,000 pounds or less. This represents 8.6% of total vehicles. However, the smaller vehicles pay only 2.2% of the total highway use tax collected. This bill also proposes to exempt from PUC regulation vehicles that are operated prior to the time they are put into commercial service. This would apply to a dealer or manufacturer delivering a vehicle to a carrier's place of business. Another example would be a prospective purchaser test driving a vehicle. Historically, these operations have been treated as exempt by PUC. However, a recent opinion of the Attorney General's office indicates that highway use tax is required. An insignificant amount of tax would be lost to the highway fund. This proposed exemption would be consistent with the current exemption applicable to the relocation of equipment for truck leasing companies. Another purpose of this bill is to exempt from PUC regulation vehicles designed to be used primarily in an off-road capacity. In the past, most of these vehicles were considered to be exempt from regulation as well. It is now felt that they are taxable. The exemption's wording ensures that operation on the public highways is in fact incidental to the off-road use. Examples of these vehicles would be large construction machinery and certain agricultural equipment. Again, there would be negligible impact on the highway fund.